In 1957.
Before you go on to 1957, what was it like when you arrived here? You were appointed to look after Pohokura Park, is that correct?
Yes. Yes and no. The position was a curator of Pohokura Park and superintendent of reserves, which was still to be developed. The various reserves were under the citizens' committees, over 20 of them. And these people were getting older all the time, and with the loss of the young fellows during the war, there was no foreseeable support for them, and also the cost of everything was getting higher than these voluntary committees could afford. And the different committees resigned, I think the first one to resign was Martin Hill, had a separate committee. And they were judges who just used to meet and they'd work on the paths and that sort of thing. I couldn't interfere with any committees at all, but the committees had to approach the council. It was quite a good setup, actually. It avoided any conflicts, most conflicts, I suppose. You can't say you avoid them all, but the committee had to approach the council, and the council would then ask me to carry out a report or something like that. And then ultimately I set up a full-scale department, a vehicle, a depot, a nursery, and set up everything, which was for, and I think still is considered to be one of the model ones in the country. But again, it was my experience was modelled on the experience of working for the top local bodies in the country, and I put into practice what I was taught there, and I suppose the army training as army quartermaster did help me in keeping control of expenditure and stores and things like that. I'd always have claimed that it's benefit army training, even if it is in the store side of it, can be a great benefit to a person in their career. Quite a number of others have said the same during this, from their experience during the last war.
So you came here and you were confronted with a park that had been neglected during the war and a series of committees that were going out of existence because they lacked energy. So it must have been quite a sort of quite a challenge, and you must have had, I mean, how much scope? Did they give you free rein? Say, this is what we have. What do you suggest we do with it? Or is that how they approached it?
Just to break back, I was heading to the final chapter in my education.
Oh, right.
Whether you wanted to follow that or to go on.
No, that's fine. No, we'll go to the final chapter in your education and then we'll actually come back. Because I'm intrigued about this, what it was like when you arrived here in Taranaki. Okay, well, we'll go back a moment.
Well, even George can't remember what. Well, he was with Duncan and Davies nursery.
Right. Let's backtrack to the education.
Yes, well, the one thing that did come up after I had qualified as an NDH, I had played around with the idea of taking a Bachelor of Science, but it just got sidetracked with one thing and another. I just put my heart and soul into my work. But the opportunity did come up when I was invited to attend an international congress in London to establish an association of an international association of park and recreation administrators. And I felt very strongly about this, and I have always advised my students that the most promising in particular should have overseas experience, and probably in England, the continent, or North America. There are different ways, perhaps, different advantages for some people in very different areas. And so I was keen to have this overseas experience myself. So I got 6 months leave of wildlife. Actually, I got the council agreed to support my.
This is when you were in Christchurch, so.
No. This was after I came to New Plymouth.
Right. Okay.
But it was not long after my appointment. It was 1957, actually.
Mm.
It was a few years after I arrived here. I arrived here in 1949, and it was 1957. And I was probably then at the peak of my knowledge capacity. And then by going overseas at that stage, I had the finest possible scope to benefit from every aspect. And so I was granted leave of absence and assisted with my passage to and from England. And for the 3 months that I was over there, I visited botanic gardens and the international dendrology members in England also helped me substantially with their friendships. It's an organization that I had joined in 1952, and they've been wonderful, and they still are a wonderful organization of enthusiasts, and dendrology being the science and study of woody plants. And so I went home, and I actually, after that, I represented New Zealand on the International Federation of Park Administrators for 16 years, I think. I was a New Zealand representative, and I attended congresses in Canberra and was London, and then there was Canberra. No, yes, Canberra, Vancouver, and Durban, South Africa. And in that way, I gained the further knowledge of different countries and plant material and practices. And I believe that each of those visits was a topping off of my knowledge, which seems to impress people today.
Mm-hmm.
The students wonder how I come up with the answers that I do at my age. But it was that very wide training and the practical approach. There were a couple of things that I fostered on those trips. Again, it links in with the park. And that was the illuminations of parks and gardens in London and Brighton and various parts of it. Well, and also in Scotland, in Edinburgh, various parts of the British Isles, was the park illuminations. There was water effects in parks, which one would come up yesterday was crematoria, and the management of crematoria, the fuel, and some of the problems that they had with fuel and furnaces. But that's just another part of the wider range of knowledge there is involved in park administration. And I lost something that I was going to tell you.
Never mind, it'll come.
Yes, well, over there, all this, the other one that I actually stimulated was what's known as hydro seeding, in which they were working in England, covering the old slag heaps and the eyesores in the cities by even spraying them with rubbishy weed seed and anything at all to green the slopes again and bring growth back. And I saw that as a wonderful opportunity for highways and for the embankments that we have in New Plymouth with Rogaltown Park and those, and getting the banks to grass over after we excavate for the playing fields. So I brought quite a bit of information back on that, which I passed on to the Ministry of Works. They sent their own man overseas to follow that up. So I was associated with those two particular developments. Then I came back to New Zealand and set into getting on with the work. I think that's as long as covers the education, except that I gained awards later on as my work developed or I became better known. I received some awards for
some quite impressive awards, I believe.
Well, actually, I was the second youngest ever to get the Associated Honour of the Royal New Zealand Institute of Horticulture. That was in the 60s, 60, I'd be sure, 65 or 66. And the Royal Horticultural Society in London has, a number of quite important awards. They're limited in the number that can be issued. Some of them are limited to those that only those that train in the British Isles or live in the British Isles. And the one that they themselves value the most, because it is on a worldwide scale, is the Veitch Memorial Medal.
The
Veitch Memorial Gold Medal. And I was awarded that in 1978, the year I retired. And
I believe this is only one of 10. Is that the one, is only one of 10, isn't there, in the world?
No, the limitation on living for a Veitch medal, I think, is 50.
Right.
The limitation on the Associate of Honour of the Royal New Zealand Institute of Horticulture is also 50 living members at any one time. I carried on with the International Dendrology Organization from my contacts with the Bonos in the British Isles, and I met up with the people in America and the continent as well. That led to the award, I just can't remember exactly when it was now, of the Honorary Life Member. of the International Andrology Society. Society is the correct name now. Originally it was called the International Dendrology Union. It was formed in Holland. And the honorary membership, I was one of the first to be granted the honorary life membership, which is limited to 10.
Mm-hmm.
The New Zealand Relief Society, the honorary life membership for that is also limited to 10.
And you're one of the 10?
Pardon?
And you're one of the 10?
Yes. I can't remember which one. I was only about the third in the International Dendrology. But then it just happened that I was in the right age bracket at the right time and retiring from my vice presidency, I think, that I have to get that. It's not wearing it. It's in a nice little badge, a silver badge that they awarded to it. It was that. It was the life membership of the IDS. Probably the most treasured one because it's an organization that started off as a semi-amateur, well-blended, always has been well-blended with highly qualified professional people and supported by the directors of Kew and the leading horticultural institutes in the world,